If you're hearing some noises in the background, we apologise. Sophie's just changing the saline bag for Whitey, but doing it very quietly, really, in the grand scheme of things.
I feel terrible. Scotty's been coming in from Bowen Heads every morning. We could have given you the day off.
No. Well, I'm here on standby. I mean, Soph's here for your...
We told you that Sophie would be looking after
Yeah, but you might collapse at any time. Then there'll be no voice.
It's all very well for Sophie to be here to support. We think that's great.
Yeah, but it's to save your life.
If you collapse, we're still a microphone short.
The show has to go on.
We're a voice short in the microphone.
And we couldn't rely on Adam to step up. Oh, could we, Daniel?
No, we could not. Because he can't. Oh,
especially after his unforced error in the Gabby Ruffles
interview. Oh, unfortunately, I was in the lift and missed it. Please tell me, was it a really good one?
No.
Did he say she was playing tennis or something?
Pretty good gaff.
Wasn't quite in the South American plane crash.
No.
Scotty and I enjoyed years ago.
Keeper lost the leg. That's the number one, has to be. Was it close to that?
No, not quite, but was it far off?
Did we pretend that it went through and no one said anything?
Yeah, we moved on very quickly. Very quickly.
Well, can we explain?
Yeah, no, but yeah. We moved Rammer, on very quickly. Yeah.
Rammer was questioning the courage of the caddy who pulled out.
Oh, I did hear that question.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was okay. Questioning whether he wasn't coping
with the heat.
Yeah, she said someone died. Yeah, and
well, I was unaware of that, clearly.
And you didn't know if it was male or female. It was a bit odd, too. Your research wasn't on point.
I said in the break, I need to read further down articles.
It happens at times where you go down a particular line of questioning and you know very early in the question you wish you hadn't gone. You have to keep going.
Yes, it is.
Generally, when I sit in one of these seats, I do my research before I come on air.
I get in
half an hour early and I don't read the articles as the lady in question is on the line.
You write the articles.
Thank you.
You write the songs.
Hence why I'm here in case Whitey topples over.
Just in case.
Caddy. He had a lot of flights booked to get out to that funeral.
I don't know where the segue is, but...
Well, there's no funeral for David Teague.
There's no funeral for David Teague. There's only celebrations.
Yes. So
today he'll be announced as the coach of the Blues.
This was floating around a bit this week, and Thursday was the day, and it's going to happen. It's very good by Carlton. I think it's, they had a dip at Clarko, a little interlude with Michael Voss, but that was it. Player power clearly had a way to go, but when you got Bruce Matheson saying he's a Carlton man, Bruce Matheson's the big power broker, the money man.
The money man.
That's a good line for David Teague to have someone in his corner. Well, so Bruce is on board.
That's helpful.
Yeah, it's very helpful.
Well, I think he's... Well, and we've talked about it, obviously, his record is as the coach in just 9 weeks. And not only the record. Don't worry about the wins and losses.
No, style.
It's the transformation of the game. That's what is sustainable. And that's why I have no doubt they've appointed him.
And you go through his background. Three clubs playing... Like, he's done... If you want the cliched apprenticeship, he's ticked a lot of those boxes. Yeah, coached his own team early.
Yeah. Yep.
He's done. If you want to go, this is the way to do it if you want to get a senior job, I reckon he's followed the perfect path. So ironically, two of the three caretakers already are done. Rats continues to firm. We never would have thought this 2 months ago.
Yeah, the only one we would have thought was Ratton.
Yeah.
And he's the last one that hasn't got it yet.
Yeah, and...
Where does that leave Brad Scott now?
Well, he'll be working at the AFL, we think.
Yeah, Robbo had a piece.
Yeah, they're apparently possibly in the game, Steve Hocking's
division. Because he's sort of got that role as the sort of the... who was the senior coach sort of on the rules of the game and all that sort of stuff. Future of the game committee, all those sorts of things. It seems a logical move.
So that'll help North not have
or
to
he
pay
might, he may just have a year out completely.
Well, you enjoy have no choice. The
enjoy
way.
Life. He was, I'm saying if you're saying the potential to work at the AFL,
yes.
He might also have a complete year out of the game.
Just play golf.
Play golf. Mm. Take the 800 from North Melbourne. So if he works at the AFL, they'll come to a deal where North doesn't have to pay all.
Correct.
So you're advising him, as you would, Adam, to take the 800.
No, I'm advising him.
So it's like he's on a game show.
Craig Kelly is advising him to do what's best for Brad.
Isn't there a deadline about whether he's going to have a crack at St Kilda? Has that passed? Has he made that decision? I'm not going to go in that deadline. Press.
See,
has he indicated to his management if he's going to?
No deadlines.
I want to ask this quite seriously about David Teague, because we did talk about this when Reshaw got the job. Were we comparing, or was North Melbourne comparing Reshaw with Brad Scott as opposed to Reshaw being the best person for the job? And we threw it as a question, wasn't it, what we thought, because we're not inside the footy club. But the same question with Carlton. You know a little bit more, Harf, being part of the program in a sense at Carlton. But
banned by Blue.
Is there a scenario where there is a trap that the Blues would be comparing David with what Brendan was doing with that team and the environment that he was creating, to sort of say, oh, well, it's so much better than what it was, as opposed to David definitely being the best man for the job? Or does that just naturally happen anyway?
Well, I think that naturally happens anyway. You always compare to what you've had. When you make a change, you always compare to what you've had. So that's just a natural response from anyone. But that's a very superficial response. So you have to dig a bit deeper. And the Blues, they are under no illusion. This is a very important appointment for their football club at this stage of
its evolution. Do we know how many years, Daniel?
No, I don't know anything about the terms, I must admit. I think it's the right decision, because as I said before, there's substance to this. This isn't just about emotion. This isn't adrenaline. This isn't better than the last guy. This is a transformation of the way the teams play, and the output they're getting, albeit a smaller sample size, 9 weeks. We've got 2 weeks to go and see what the rest of the year holds. But this is more substantial and it's more sustainable. This is why it becomes a really important decision, and I think it's the right one. And you look else there. If you haven't got Clarko, if Clarko's not coming...
Yeah, who else is banging the door down?
How are you with any certainty making decisions outside of David Teague at the moment, when you know that he has clearly got the connection with the playing group? And I still think, and I might be wrong, but I still think that's the most important thing for a coach, to have a connection with the playing group. He's done the hard yards with these guys. He's now got that connection with them individually, but also as a team. They understand him. They are that far ahead of a new coach coming in already. It's not funny.
How proud are you of him? Now, you know him well. You played together at Carlton.
I know him. I don't know him.
Yeah, but you played together with him at Carlton, and there's now a situation where former teammates at the Blues, you're coaching the women, he's coaching the men. That's a pretty special sort of situation.
It's unusual. I think it's unusual, but I'm rapt for him. Absolutely rapt for him. He's always been a great footy person and loved footy from the day I first met him at the Blues in that first day of pre-season. He was that guy from North Melbourne when I first met him.
How many games Blues did you play together, Danny?
Two true blue baggers.
Heart,
well, he's their best and fairest. Yeah, Teague's a John Nicholls medalist.
Yeah, I'm not saying,
and I'm one of the
him.
nine game greats of the any competition.
He didn't play in his last year, though. Who was that Dennis as well with him?
No, I don't know.
They would have played some Mick football Mulhouse together maybe at the Blantz.
Yep.
We dominated the Blantz together for a little while. Trying to get back into the
same. I didn't think you played BFL. Anyway, that's good.
I did.
It's disappointing.
I did at the end of my career. No, I'm up for it. You said before, Scotty, this is 12 years, 13 years of hard work to get to this point.
Yeah, I hope that people don't continue to say about both Reece and David that this was supporter-driven, people-driven, because it's more than that with these two guys.
It can't be that.
But this is what the narrative is at the moment, it is supporter-driven.
Well, I think more so with Carlton.
The people are talking.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm a big believer in both of these guys have made a significant impact. Reece, obviously, in a 6-month period at North Melbourne before he was caretaker coach, had made a significant impact on the playing group, and obviously, and David's the same at Carlton. He's been there a little bit longer, obviously, but he's come in, and with Carlton being absolutely starved of any type of result over the last couple of years in terms of wins and losses. Mm. Well, sorry, not losses, in terms of wins. He comes in, they're 5-4 at the moment, but they're playing now a game that's watchable. You can go and watch it. Like, I thought last week was a little bit tricky with Richmond, because sometimes their style can take you back a little bit. But once they got going, Carlton, last week, they looked really good again.
Yeah, I think the last two games that they've actually lost, there's almost more credits in the bank for the way that they didn't collapse, that they stuck to their guns against two of the best teams in the competition. But, I mean, there's been a lot of text messages today around, why didn't they wait till the end of the year? There's only two games to go and all that sort of thing. So they had a really clearer picture of what the field might be that they could look at.
I think they've done that behind the scenes.
Who is the field? Brad Scott and who else?
Yeah, but
that's always an easy thing to say. the guys that have done the senior coaching. But, I mean, Luke Beveridge, Phil Walsh, Don Pike, they emerged through a process.
They would have went down the path. They would have explored the Paul Roos and somebody else scenario. They would have, absolutely.
Yeah.
They explored the Michael Voss scenario. They would have explored the Brett Ratten scenario.
I believe that Daniel Harford was asked to come in and have a coffee.
I seriously hope not.
Doubt.
They would have explored the Alistair Clarkson scenario. So that, I have no doubt. 2 weeks is not going to matter.
No, but through a process, people do emerge that you don't expect necessarily.
The other part, the other part that I'm happy with David now, he gets the final two games of the season, so then he's in all the exit interviews now. There's no worry about what's the pro, who's going here. So Carlton will not waste any weeks in an off-season now. They're able to continue to move forward.
I want to make that point. I think it's a good one because he now can actually make some decisions on players that they don't waste any time in regards to list management because the Dale Thomas situation has emerged.
That's a good segue. There it is.
So what's the latest? Because apparently he's not going to be offered another contract.
Well, the media reports yesterday said he's gone and was coming in for a meeting, but then we hear that Carlton have backed off that and said the meeting's actually today. But and
they're being set back for Steve, eh?
I know. But he's unlikely.
Why are you laughing at that for, Whitey?
I'm not laughing.
I think he's unlikely by the sound of it. Which is...
Well, most of it, I'm shocked by that.
Well, he had a solid year and played a pretty key role for David Teague as a third tall.
Do you think it may have been a decision between Cade Simpson and Dale Thomas?
Why couldn't you carry both?
I don't know the answer at all.
I think the phrasing is really important there, Scotty. I'm not sure you're carrying either. I think they're producing every week.
But my question is, do you think that's what
the decision came to
at Carlton?
The magnets, 32 and 30, whatever. We can only have one of them.
And Because I know they've got high hopes for Tom Williamson to play that sort of role that Dale Thomas is playing at the moment. He's had
injuries.
Bad
back. He's had a lot of
troubles through the journey, yes.
He got 46 on the list.
Yeah. He might be a bit stiff, Daisy.
I can't believe he
can't have both. Because he won us over the last 12 months.
His football his last 2.5 to 3 years have been really good.
You just wonder if the decision he made earlier in the year.
Oh, yes.
May have come back to haunt him a little bit.
That's not bad. But it's a good statement from the new coach. If he goes, whack, sorry, you're done.
But that's my point about David Teague. Now he's the coach. He can make those calls now. Which is going to be fair on everybody, I think, because...
We've got Sam Doherty coming back too.
Daly's young enough to potentially go to the Gold Coast maybe in a role, maybe.
I think the Gold Coast would suit Daisy.
he's shown enormous leadership. What I learned through the week, I must admit I wasn't aware of this fully, that he's an excellent analyst of the game. He's a footy head.
Really?
He's quite intelligent from a football perspective. I know I haven't had a lot to do with him within the club, but I was talking to someone the other day that said he's unbelievable.
Because a lot of people just
understand the game.
A lot of people see him as a lad.
Yeah. It's like Stevie Johnson the same. Yeah. You think he's a lunatic. Yeah. He is. He sees the game way ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, Daisy's in the same boat, they reckon, which is a big plus for him, particularly coming towards the end of his career. But... I'd be staggered that if he didn't get another contract.
Well, it's
considering
not looking
his contribution.
Good. That's what the mail is.
Yeah, righto. Well, that's the Carlton situation. We'll get to a break, and we lost one of the greats yesterday.
We did.
One of the all-time greats, in fact. Some say
legend,
possibly the greatest. So we'll talk about the passing of Polly Farmer after this. Scott is with us. There's plenty of other news going around the world of footy, and we'll get it all from our man Scott after this on The Breakfast Club.
Across this sporting state, RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Don't forget he came from an orphanage, overcame tremendous adversity, being an Indigenous man, but he was the man I respected most in my life. He was a champion and stalwart of our great game and a great representative of his culture and his people.
That is the voice of Sam Newman, 300-game champion of the Geelong Football Club, talking about the man that he respects more than any other who passed out yesterday, Graeme Polly Farmer, a legend of the Australian Football Hall of Fame and a game-changer. Rammer, one of the all-time great men on the planet, so they reckon.
Your man, Scotty, John Ralph actually produced a good tweet yesterday.
Oh, that's a bit harsh on poor old The Buzz.
What's The Buzz up to?
Well, he said there should be footage of all past players within the AFL website,
their
portal in the archives, that you can go to, click on Polly Farmer, and you can watch a couple of minutes of all sorts of highlights on those greats of our game.
I totally agree, because our generation didn't see him. So.
No, we only know the stories.
And how I judge it is, like, we've seen Gary Ablett Sr. So in Geelong, I just go, oh, he's one of the best players I've ever seen, clearly the best player at Geelong. And then they go, oh, no, he's second. So that, to me, says how good was Polly
Farmer. Yeah, and you look down all those accolades and awards and...
Changing the game,
stop.
Grabbing the ball, introducing handball as an attacking weapon rather than just a sort of skill. Mm. Oh, it's... And he wasn't here that long. It was only 6 years.
Yeah, 100 games.
We talk about generational players. He was one of those because of the things that he did actually change the game through his exploits.
Yep.
I was lucky enough to, years ago, to produce Grumpy Old Men on Fox Footy with KB and the crew. And we were lucky enough to get Polly came over and did a real feature type interview with Bobby Davis. And just to see the two of them together. But Polly wasn't just because of his football ability, but he was such a popular man, the way he brought people together. Mm. And it was a really special day at the MCG just to have those two together. And we got three or four of them together from that premiership era, that golden era. But just the way they spoke of Polly, it was just, they were in awe of him, even though he was a teammate.
Bobby had a great quote. I don't think it's here. He said about the 63 premiership, "Oh, no disrespect to the rest of the team, but Polly was the team."
Yeah.
What if they go, "No disrespect to all these great players, he was the team." He won them that flag. And that was his second year at Geelong.
Because he missed his first year through injury.
Yeah. And he runs
second in a Brownlow.
All the B&Fs and that in Perth, it's just extraordinary. He just dominated. And, you know, Sam Newman, we laugh at him. He's a lunatic most of the time, but he generally helps Sam get to 300 games and says a lot when Sam Newman, how much, you know, Polly meant to him.
Now, legend of Australian football.
You could go
team
on.
Of the century, the accolades just roll out. And just 101 games in the VFL.
Yeah.
Three Sandovers.
He played over 300. He played about 350 all up, I think.
Came back and coached in the
played series. About 170-odd for West Perth. West Perth or East Perth?
176 with East Perth.
Yep.
He played 101 with Geelong, and then he played 79 with West Perth.
And then there's state games in there as well, another 30-odd.
Well, that was what I was just about to say, that I know that we don't have State of Origin anymore, but it's that sort of era when we think, gee, I wish we had State of Origin football, because I know we are in National League now, but a lot of what he did, his reputation went from here to there. Yeah. Because of what he did in carnivals.
Yep.
And he played for Victoria as well.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
It wasn't place of birth then, obviously.
WA and Victoria representative, which a few of those legends back in those days.
Well, became what league you were playing for.
Yeah, which state you were playing in. So a very, very sad passing of the great Polly Farmer yesterday. And I imagine that there would be armbands for everyone this week.
Definitely Geelong, obviously. There's a state funeral happening in Perth.
You reckon?
And Geelong will probably do something for their last home game.
You'd have to. He's an Australian football legend.
Yeah.
I reckon you could get everyone to get the tape out.
I reckon that's absolutely
appropriate.
Absolutely warranted and appropriate for the great Polly Farmer. So, valet to the great Polly. Moving on to more local matters and more immediate matters. John Worsfold.
Yeah,
he was defending himself yesterday.
This is one of his better performances.
Let's have a listen to the whoosh at the media throng yesterday at the Tullamarine Windy Hill Centre, whatever it's called.
Yeah, the reality is we've played two poor games coming off a really good 6 or 7 weeks of footy.
Do you feel it's warranted that your job position could be under threat if you don't make the finals this year?
You'd have to ask the club that, because it's probably unfair to ask me whether I want my job or not. The reality is that I'm contracted for next year. I'm absolutely committed to this footy club.
And he also had a crack at those who were suggesting his body language during the game was lackluster and lacking inspiration for his playing group. Thought they were cheap shots, Scotty.
Well, he says that footage is 2% of the whole day, which is probably fair call. And that they captured the times where he was just having a quiet moment to himself.
It's his most important week as a coach.
This week?
Well,
no doubt.
It's job
after a performance as they served up on Saturday night. If they can do that.
Two performances.
Well, two performances. Last two weeks have been very ordinary. But Saturday night, they rolled over. White flag was up very early in that game. So how a coach is able to inspire a team through a week and change a performance around, then go to Perth and play Fremantle is a tough gig. But, you know, he could potentially be a genius come the end of Saturday night.
It is very interesting. I know I haven't been here much recently, but we're talking about over the last month, three men that are under enormous pressure, apparently, to keep their jobs when all three have a team that is inside the top nine. We're talking about Don Pike, Ken Hinckley and John Worsfold.
Yeah.
Is the criticism fair on those three considering where they sit on the ladder
with their team? Well, it depends on the expectation or where you think the expectation is on the team.
Yeah, so I'll ask you, do you think it's fair that those three are under pressure? And who should be under the pressure the most?
See, I think John has reasoning with injuries. I think Essendon have got significant injuries at the moment that would suggest that you're going to get this up and down form. I have no doubt about that. I think Ken has totally changed his team from stripping it back, getting three or four younger guys into the team.
He made a hard call. Step back, go two steps forward.
That's right. And I think we've got to realise that and respect that. Probably the Adelaide one's the most interesting for me. I thought they would bounce this year. They bounced for a little while, but then the ball went flat.
That's the air coming out of the ball.
Yeah. And that's the issue
audio gag
for Adelaide.
So you're going Pike, Worsfold, Hinckley. That's the order of the pressure gauge.
But I'd say the more likely sacking is Worsfold, Pike next, and then Hinckley.
What do you reckon?
On a sacking rating.
If you're going on expectations and what I thought, what perhaps the football community thought, I think there's more pressure on Don Pike in Adelaide. But problem is, he's got a 2-year.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going anywhere, whereas if I'm John Worsfold, I'm not convinced I'm going in a couple
of weeks. I think Kenny's doing a good job with what he's done. I expected more of Adelaide. I expected Essendon to be hovering 7 to 10. So they're about there. How they've got there is the concern.
Where John's argument's flawed about what's happened in the past with the supplements, drama and all that sort of thing, Essendon did make the finals a couple of years ago.
Correct.
Now, they failed miserably against Sydney, but they did make the finals. So I don't think he can use that as a bit of an out, that this is a new team and all that sort of thing.
I know it's difficult, but the club and the players have to move on from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know how they do that. I don't have a suggestion, but they've got to find a way.
It's enough time now, sure.
I feel he's using that as an out.
Yeah. I don't know. I think just there's scars that simply haven't healed yet.
The reality with Essendon is, with two games to go, they have only beaten two teams that are currently inside the top eight.
Mm-hmm.
One of those was the Giants by a handful of points, and the other one was Brisbane really early in the season before Brisbane became Brisbane. So that's where Essendon is as a football team, I think. I just think they're an average team.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And, Harf, I say that because it's still spoken about. If it was healed, it's not spoken about.
But is John bringing that up to try and save himself a bit?
Well,
he did use it as an excuse during the year.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't reference it.
Don't need to reference it. If it comes up in a question, we're over that.
Yeah, yeah. This is 2019.
You're talking about a past life.
New team. None of these players affected.
Yep.
Let's go.
It's a big game. Do we know if Stringer's going to play? Steve, I was saying yesterday that he probably wouldn't, and then I got reports yesterday that he probably would.
He had a run round at training, Jakey Boy, so Woosha thinks he's a chance.
Really important.
Do they play Heppel? We talked about this last week about the firm surface.
Have to.
Is it all chips in the middle of the table now, or does he hold some of them back for Collingwood?
No way.
I think it's chips in.
Because the likelihood is they have to win both games.
Hurley, Francis and Parrish are a chance to be back this week as well.
Hurley as well, that'd be helpful.
Oh, that'd be very helpful.
That'd be very helpful.
Their last trip to Perth against West Coast wasn't
that
great.
That was a very bad night.
Yeah.
That was when they tried to play.
But the year before, they played really well.
Yeah, about the 20th row around the boundary.
But to your question, it's chips in this week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think they only need to win one.
Try win this one and then work it out from there.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. Before we get moving, Adelaide, the Liam Stocker deal.
Yes.
Looks like they'll get pick three as things sit at the moment. Who knows where it ends? It might be pick four.
Well, yeah, because Gold Coast are going to get a couple of little...
And I think Tom Green maybe...
Well, it might be pick five.
I tell you what, I hope Gold Coast don't get a priority pick.
Oh, well, it's a topic for another day. Adelaide, looks like that pick, whatever it is, might be on the table, Scotty.
There's been little Cladstone meetings, Rama, as you know, that happened this time of the year. A bit of speed dating, and the Crows have been very active in people. If you want pick three and going to give us a couple extra picks in the first round, so they want, give us 10 and 12, we'll give you three or something like that.
Oh, so it's just picks, yeah, they want, not a
player. Yeah, they want the two-for-one deal.
Righto.
Like Port Adelaide did beautifully. Was it three? All those kids were under 20. Yeah, so they want to do something like that. So if you want,
they want to get younger.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is the top two, even though our friend here thinks there's only one, then there's a gap. So if you've got three, the bloke at eight might be as good.
Yeah.
So they're going on that theory.
And if they trade one of their midfield bulls, one of the Crouchers, let's just say a Crouch gets traded. Let's just say it happens. Would they be a first round pick?
Yep.
Yeah, one of the Crouchers.
They could load up. They could, as they say in the classics, blanket bomb.
Yes.
This draft.
So that's their theory. And I think GWS were making noises about something similar, whether they can pull. Have they got a pick from Dylan Scheel?
Yeah, Essendon. But they've also got Tom Green.
Yeah, who's a top five.
So they can get, before that, where he's going to be bid on, they'll then get a first round pick plus Tom Green. So they'll potentially have two players.
And the conversation for Canelio.
Two players who are inside the top five draft.
If he goes. We're just not sure yet. That means the Bombers don't have a first-round pick. Is it next year as well?
Yep.
No. They got a first-round pick next year.
Shield was just this year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So they one first-rounder.
They gave last year's.
Of course. Yes, my apologies. Yes. So just this year. Right, let's finish with another retiree from the Swans. We had a chat with Jared McVeigh yesterday. Another one yesterday.
Yeah, Nick Smith, who has sort of disappeared. Player. He did his hamstring badly last year and has had come back, and I think he's had three cracks at it, and it just keeps blowing up. So one of those unheralded. Yeah, he was unheralded. He just played on Cyril. He played on all the good small forwards. And
terrific player.
Very, very good
player. Speak to Cyril, and that's Nick Smith is Cyril's hardest opponent. Yeah.
Well, he's biased because they both went to Scotch.
Why?
I'm serious,
don't him in a grand final.
Nick, no, but he has been
super player.
And I think it's almost super disrespectful person. To say he was an underrated player. Because I think he's one of the best small defenders of the last 20 years.
Yep. I think he has been underrated.
Yeah, I know, but you know what I mean? A lot of people, you just throw in that, oh, he's underrated, put it in that category. I think he is rated. I think he probably goes under the radar a little bit, but
right.
He's one of the best small defenders of the last 20 years.
Is it the same or different to underrated being under the radar?
No, I think...
It's in similar terms, aren't they?
I think because the outside of Sydney and others would underrate him. It took a while for the footballer community to embrace
that's right.
him.
Yep, I think that's fair.
As what you said he is.
I think
one of the best.
Yeah.
Nice work.
Thank you.
I've missed you.
I know. I'm glad. Well, our man looks like he's going to get through to 8. Hang on.
Oh, so please... Can you clean that up?
Thank you,
Soph. Nice to be with you. Thank you, Scotland. Nice
probably
to chat
not
always.
Tomorrow. I think enough's enough. Oh. We need some time apart.
just keep your phone on. Just keep your phone on. Scotty Gallen with all the latest news in footy from the Herald Sun, 25 to 8. We'll get to a break. Mitch Creek.